Okay, so welcome everyone. And what we're going to do today, instead of the Parsha, we're going to share some Divrei Torah on the Haggadah, Haggadah Insights. So we know that the Maharil, the great Poisek, the Maharil says that every detail of the Seder is filled with depth, filled with significance, filled with meaning. I want you to be careful to be medayek, to be careful about every minag, every halacha, every concept of the Seder, because it's just so deep and so vast. The Haggadah itself is a sefer that apparently more has been written. There's more mefarshim in the Haggadah than anything else. It's like absolutely fascinating. So what I want to do today, of course, the bulk of the Haggadah, Haggadah means to tell the story. The bulk of the Haggadah is the Sipur, the halacha, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's not just the story, it's the whole Haggadah, the whole Seder, actually, right? So today I'm just going to share with you a few ideas. I'm going to share the screen because I want to show you some stuff inside and see how we go. So let me just share with you in 1 second. I think it's this. Yeah. There we are. Okay. So I hope you can see this. I hope so. Only 1 second. All right. I'm going to just take it on top there. So let me just share with you one or two things on the beginning of the Haggadah, the simonim. So we know that one of the things we have at the Seder, you know, the word Seder means structure. So we have this idea called simonim, the 15 steps of the Seder, Kadesh, Rechatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Much has been written about that also. But let me just share with you one quick vort and then a bigger vort on that I saw this year in the Shvilei Pinchas about the simonim, the signs, the mnemonics that we have at the Seder. First of all, the words of the Seder are not just signs to remember what to do, but they also significantly mean different things. So, for example, the Kadesh Rechatz begins with Kadesh and then Rechatz, right? Urechatz. We make Kiddush and then we wash. In a way, those two words give away the power of the Seder. Kadesh means we bring Kedusha, we bring holiness on ourselves. Urechatz means to wash our hands. Washing our hands normally means the idea of getting rid of the tumah, getting rid of the impurity on our hands. Now, it is true that sometimes, in order to be mamshik kedusha, in order to bring down kedusha on ourselves, we need to first do urechatz. We need to first get rid of the things that block kedusha. We need to get rid of the things that are impure, things that are tumah, things that are ra, things that are bad. And then we can experience and we can engage in yonim, in concepts to do with holiness, to do with kedusha. The power of the Seder is that just like in Mitzrayim, when the Yidden didn't deserve to go out, they were sunken in the 49th level of Tumah. And it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem himself, Nigla Aleihem. He revealed himself to them. Uga Olam, and he just redeemed them, he schlepped them out. So to every Pesach is the same thing. No matter where we might be, no matter the preparation or lack of preparation that we did for the Seder, we sit down to the Seder, Hashem gives us an abundance of Kedusha. So Kadesh comes before Urechatz. In other words, first thing we need to know about the Seder is that there's tremendous Kedusha, and the Kedusha is affecting us, the Kedusha is coming upon us, and so on. Then once we know that we're filled with the Kedusha of the Seder, then we know we can start getting rid of the Tumah, we can start the process of Urechatz. That's just an idea. But I saw a fascinating Indian with regard to the simonim. Because we have what we call the simone haseder, simonim. And then we have a different time of the year that we have simonim, and that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, and by extension, Yom Kippur and so on. But there's an amazing kesher between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah in the following way. The Zohar HaKadosh says the following. That someone who eats matzahs on the night of Pesach, someone who keeps Pesach properly, someone who is careful with the mitzvahs, he says, Ein hadin shoylet olav. The din, the judgment, does not take hold of him on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it is true that in the Yomim Noiroim, the Satan can come and he can accuse and it can be a prosecutor against the Jewish people, but a person who was nizar, who was careful to keep the Seder properly, especially the eating of the matzah, eating the kazayis matzah properly the way it should be done according to the Yetzara, according to Shulchan Aruch Hamim, then he's saved from the din of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because chametz is Yetzara. That's why I said Yetzara before. The chametz is Yetzara. That's the Satan, same thing. The Yetzara, the Satan, and the Malchamov is all the same agent, right? So therefore, if we get rid of the chametz and we engage in the matzah, in the opposite of the Yetzara, on Pesach night, we saved from the din of Rosh Hashanah. And this is hinted in the most amazing way. I'm going to show you two ways that it's hinted in an amazing thing. If you have a look at the handout number two, it's a pasuk from Shmoyis Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Dalet, and it was Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling the Yidden, Hayoyim atem yoytzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Today, the pasuk of Pshat is referring to Pesach. Today you're going away, you're going out in the spring month, chodesh ha'aviv. You know, Pesach's in the spring month, not in the Australia, but in the Northern Hemisphere. We know it's called Chag Aviv and Chodesh Aviv and so on. Today you're going out. When you're going out, Chodesh Aviv. So the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of Rav, says the following, based on the Zohar, that we know we have a klal, we have a rule, that every time it says the word Hayoyim in Tanakh, it's also a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Like we say, Atim Nitzovim Hayoyim, that we read before Rosh Hashanah. And by Yi Hayoyim and Iyoyim, the Gemara says that it's dinner, Yom Dinner Rabbah, it's the day of Rosh Hashanah. The word Hayoyim refers to Rosh Hashanah. So he says, this is the Pshat in the Pasuk, right? Hayoyim Atem Yoytzim, today, meaning the day of Rosh Hashanah. You go free from all din, you get free from all gevura, from all judgment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're victorious. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu benches you with a very good year. Why? Because B'chodesh Aviv. Because the spring month, Pesach month, you kept properly. Pesach month, you kept the mitzvahs and you did the matzah properly and you kept away from chametz. That's why in Rosh Hashanah, you go out. And that's the kesher between the simonim. Just like in Rosh Hashanah, we have simonim. Simonim there are symbols that point to a very good year. So too, on Pesach night, we have simonim because those two simonim are connected. If you keep the simonim of Pesach night and we eat the matzah properly and we stay away from chametz, then it translates into the simonim of Rosh Hashanah and we brings down the bracha and we save from din and we are victorious and meritorious on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. One more thing it says also. Two more things actually on this. The Mefarshim point out a similar idea. You have another pasuk in the number three that says like this: Shivas Yomim Matzos Techel. Says 7 days you have to eat matzos. Ach b'yoyim rishoyin. But on the first day, Tashbisu So'or Mibatech. Right? Then the first day, you have to destroy the chametz from your houses. So the question really is here, why the Medrash asked with regard to Sukkos. Over there also says, v'kachtem lachem b'yom rishon, you should take on the first day, the lulav and the esrog. And the Medrash says, why is it called yom rishon? And the Medrash gives an answer. But why is it called Yom Rishon? Because the first day of Sukkot. But it's a strange thing because Yom Rishon, first day, means normally the first day of the month. So we can ask the same question over here. What does it mean the first day? The Gemara Pesachim says first day means Erev Pesach. But why is it called Yom Rishon, first day? So he says this is the Pshat in the Pasuk. Shivas Yomim Toich L'Matzis. For 7 days you should eat Matzis, meaning keep Pesach properly. Ah, by Yom Rishon, you know what will happen? On the Yom Rishon, on the first day of the year, which is Rosh Hashanah, you'll get rid of the soil, you'll get rid of the Yetzirah and the Satan from your houses, and you'll be Zoyche Badin, you'll become completely meritorious in the judgment in the Din of Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah. So that's all the connection between the first night of the Seder, keeping Pesach, the Simonim, and the Simonim of Rosh Hashanah. And one final Kesher, which is amazing, because the Simonim, if you count them up, there are 15 steps. Yud and Hey, the Gematria Yud Ka, the Ka, Hashem's name, of course. And that's b'chol an amazing thing, that the name of Hashem, Yud and Hey, is embedded in the whole Seder. But also we know that on Rosh Hashanah, what do? Before we blow the shofar, we say, Min Hameitzar Korosi Ka, I call to Hashem from the depths, from the narrowness. Ononi Bamerchav Ka, and He will answer me abundantly. So we can say, and this this is the idea that again the kesher between the Seder and Rosh Hashanah, that when I call Hashem, we call to Hashem ka yudke from the narrowness, from tshuva on Rosh Hashanah on noniba merchav ka. He answers me from the abundance of yudke. What does he answer me from? He answers me because we kept Pesach properly, because we have the Seder and the 15 steps. So the 15 steps, the yudke, help that when we before shofar, when we say min ha-meitzar karas yikah, it'll be ononi ba merchav ka. Okay, so that's a little bit of an idea on the simonim. I want to now share with you a vort. It's a nice vort that I saw once. I might have shared it previously on the Kaira, on the Seder plate, and the Manishtana also. And then I'm going to share with you a beautiful Kli Yoker. But let's talk about this vort first. It's a vort that I saw in a Majid Sahagode. I've forgotten the name of the Haggadah now. It's a Haggadah that I inherited from my Zayd Olav HaShalom, and I saw in his library, and it came to me somehow, and it's a beautiful, it's a Mojitzer Rebbe that was saved from the war. And he came to America after the war, and then his son became the next Mojitzer Rebbe, and he published this Haggadah from his father, from himself. There's Verklach from his father, and Verklach from himself. And he says the following. We know that we say in the Manishtana that that all the other nights of the year we don't dip even once necessarily, but nowadays we have two dipping. This night we have two dippings. As those who say the Manishtana in Yiddish, there's a minute to add and to say Einmal Karpatz in Salzwasser. One time the one dipping is Karpatz in salt water. The second time it's morer in the charoses. Now we know the first dipping comes at the beginning of the Seder, and the second dipping comes almost towards the end of the Seder, like after we've eaten matzah, at the end of the whole Haggadah. Okay, before benching, before halal, but at the end of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he asks, what's the significance of all this? And he says something beautiful. He says the two dippings that we have at the Seder are the two dippings of Klal Yisrael. He says there was one dipping that got the Yidden landed in Mitzrayim in the first place, and there's another dipping that got the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. What's the pshat? Karpas has the same word as pas, like ksoines pasim. That is a reference to the coat of Yosef, ksoines pasim, the tunic, the special coat that Yaakov brought for Yosef that we read about in Parshas Vayeshev. And when there was a machlokes, when there was division between him and his brothers, and he came and he had those dreams, and eventually he came, they threw him into the pit, and they sold him down as a slave to Mitzrayim. This was disunity and pirud, division among the brothers. And then they wanted to tell Yaakov, break the news to him that Yosef is no longer here. So they took the ksoines pasim, and they dipped it into goat's blood, and they told Yaakov, chaya roa chalosu, it looks like a wild animal must have torn up your son. And that was the way they broke the news to Yaakov. So the ksoines pasim, the dipping of the ksoines pasim, is the symbol of the division, the pirud, between the brothers that got them into golus. Because we know that sinas chinam and pirud between brothers doesn't bring bracha. And that is symbolized by the first dipping of the Seder. When we take karpas, karpas is the same letter as ksoines pasim, pasim, the pas, karpas. And we dip it into salt water being tears, of course, reminding ourselves that what gets us into Golus, or what got us into Golus in the first place, is that dipping that resembled the dipping of disunity and pirud halavavos. What was the second dipping of Klal Yisrael before they were ready to go out of Mitzrayim, to become Hashem's nation? As the Novi Yecheskel says, that by Mitzrayim, there was the Leidas Am Yisrael, they became born as a nation. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Yidden to take a Korban Pesach and to shecht it, and then they're going to put the blood on the doorposts. How do they do that? So the Pasuk says in Parshas Boy, Velokachtem Agudas Ezoiv. They must take a bunch of a plant called Ezoiv. I think it's called the hyssop plant or something, right? and dip that in the blood and put it on the door. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Yidden that they're becoming one connected nation. And they have to be ba'achdus. So they have to be completely united and one and connected to each other. And that's the schus and that's the mitzvah of how you fix the disunity that happened with Yosef HaTzadik. So therefore, v'lokachtem agudas ezoiv, take a bunch of plants together, not just one single plant, but a bunch of plants together, and dip it in the blood and put it on the doorpost. And that's a symbol of achdus. That's an antidote to the first dipping. So the first dipping got us into Mitzrayim. It's the second dipping that gets us out of Mitzrayim. Ahavas chinam, unity, love for the sake of love, connection to each other, achdus Yisrael, avas Yisrael. That's what comes out of Golos. That's like the Gemara says, Gedoilot Tzedakah Shemekareva Ses HaGeula. Tzedakah brings the Geula closer, because it's about Achdus, it's about connecting to people, helping people, supporting people, being together with people. That takes us out. And to remember that, we have it towards the end of the Seder. We have another dipping. The Morer in Charoises, he doesn't say this explicitly, but I think it's the same idea. We take bunches of lettuce, like pieces of lettuce, together, we dip it in Charoises. Charoises is like a binding agent almost. It's like a thing which made different ingredients all together, similar to the Agudas Ezoi, similar to the hyssop plant. And that's a symbol of Achdus, and that's a symbol of the antidote of the first dipping, and that will take us out of this Golus. So therefore, the Kol Yisrael had two dippings, the one that got him into Golus, the one that got him out of Golus. We too remind ourselves of what brings Golus, which was the dipping of the Karpas, and then we finish with the dipping of the Mor and the Charoises, which is the symbol of Achdus, the symbol of oneness, and that's what will bring us out of Golus. I want to just connect this briefly to a word that the Maharal of Prague says. Maharal of Prague says that that's why there was the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was the foundation of the nationhood of Am Yisrael. Because we have to understand what happened here. I've said this before many times, but the concept of coming out of Mitzrayim is when we became a nation. What does that mean? Weren't we a nation beforehand as well? The pshat is no. Before Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were a bunch of people who came from one set of parents, Avraham and Sarah, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rachel, Leah, same fathers, same mothers. And we all happened to be connected culturally, spiritually, somehow, whatever. But we weren't actually one unit. The whole idea of Leidas Am Yisrael, the birth of Am Yisrael, like as Novi Yecheskel says, is that we become one concept. One, we connected to each other, intrinsically connected to each other. And this is the chidush of Am Yisrael. And says the Maharal, this is why they had to take a Korban Pesach. Why? Because the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, in many of the halachas and the details of Korban Pesach, shows this inyan. For example, he says like this. He says that, why was the dafka a lamb? Why was the Korban Pesach a lamb? So he brings a medrash, and the medrash says that the difference between a lamb and, let's say, a bull, a big animal, a cow, a bull, is that a big animal, if it injures itself in one part of the body, it doesn't necessarily feel, if it injures its leg, for example, it will feel the pain in the leg. And it won't feel the pain necessarily in the entire body. However, a lamb is a more edel, it's a smaller animal, it's an edel animal, more refined animal, more sensitive animal. And that's why the lamb, if it becomes injured in one place, it feels the pain in the entire body. So too, we needed to take Korban Pesach because this was when making us into a nation. A nation means we're completely one. If another Yid is suffering, we're suffering. If another Yid is happy, we're happy. In other words, we feel and we're sensitive to the, I mean, we see this, how this was in the last year and a half and so on. The sort of amazing achdus of Am Yisrael, each person sort of feels it's a personal sorrow. It's a personal problem, right? Because it's our problem. It's an Eden in Eretz Yisrael, means it's our issue, it's our sorrow. And that's what happens. That's the concept of a lamb. A lamb means that, because we know that the Klal Yisrael are compared to a lamb, right? We say, we kiss for achas ben shivim zevim, one lamb among 70 wolves. So therefore, the lamb, the symbol of a lamb means that we are one. There's a famous maysa, I've said it before, but I just want to mention again in connection with this, with the Meir Shapiro. It was the famous Bayless trial in Ukraine, was the last of the blood libels, the Matzah blood libel, where they arrested a Yid called Bayless and he was on trial. And the whole Jewish world got involved. And one of the prosecutors, Tainer, he said, you see that the Yidna are against Goyim and they're against the nations of the world, because there's a Gemara which says that the Yidna are called Odom. that it's a specific name given to the Yidden. And he said, what that means is that the Yidden, the Talmud, the Gemara, considers only the Yidden to be human beings, and they have no respect for other human beings. They don't even call them human. It says, because it says in the Gemara, Atem Kruim Adam, you are called an Adam. It's a whole Gemara with regard to Shlichus and Truma, and so on. I'm not going to go into details, but only the Yidden are called Adam. So Rav Meir Shapiro wrote, and he said they should answer the judge in the following way. And I should say like this, the famous Rav Meir Shapiro. He says, of course, Chas v'Shalom, of course, every human being is special. Every human being is created in the image of God. B'tzelem Elokim. There's tremendous respect for all human life, including non-Jewish human life, and so on. But Adam, the specific term Adam, is for Jews. Why? He said there are many words that talk about human beings. For example, Ish and Isha. Man and woman is about human beings. But most terms that talk about Enosh, if it talks about human beings, you can make a plural. So, for example, the plural of Ish is Anoshim. The plural of Isha is Noshim. And so on, right? So, Gever is Gevorim, right? And so on. Adam, the word Adam, which means the human being, has no form in plural. There's no such thing. There's no Adomim or something, right? There's no, it's only singular. Why? He says, because this concept, all human beings are special, but this concept that the entire nation is called Adam is because the entire Jewish nation is only one. And Rav Meir Shapiro continually says, say to the judge, for example, he says, where do you find that if one person, one non-Jew stands trial, the entire world gets involved? Here you have one bailiff who's standing trial in Ukraine, I think it was, and the entire Kehillah, the entire Jewish world, the Gedolim, everyone is getting involved. Why? Because if he's standing trial, everyone is standing trial. And that's the pshat that the Yid is called Adam. And that's what Maharal says, that the Korban Pesach shows this idea that we're all one. We're a kisva, we're a lamb. If part of the lamb is hurting, the entire lamb is hurting. He says with regard to other details of the Korban Pesach as well, we find that it has to be roasted and not cooked. He says, what's the pshat? Because when you cook meat, the more you cook it, the softer it gets, and it's sort of the pieces fall off. But when it comes to roasting, faker, the more you roast it, the more it becomes, contracts, and becomes more one, harder to cut in a way, right? And that's the same thing when the Torah tells us that etzem lo sishperu boy, you're not supposed to break any bones in the Korban Pesach. Why? Because, again, now it's got to be whole, the skeleton. They used to take out the stomach stuff, and then they would barbecue it and eat it roasted on the night, but they had to take the meat off the bone, and the skeleton had to remain whole. Same idea, because the whole idea of Korban Pesach is the oneness. So this is what when they brought the Korban Pesach, they also did the dipping, that they took that Gudas Ezu, they took the bunch of hyssop plants, again, the oneness, the connection, and that was the tikkun, that was the idea of fixing the first dipping, which was division, and that led to the Geula. So it's the first dipping links to Golos, the second dipping links to the Geula, and that's the symbolisms of Alaylo Hazesh Tepa Amim. Tonight there's two dippings that we do on Pesach night. I want to finish with a vort from the Kli Yoker, which I'll share with you the vort, and then I'm going to share with you a little bit of a take, a little bit of an extension of the vort, which I thought about myself. And even though me ani or mo ani, who am I to make a new chidushim? But I've heard many times from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that you can say a chidush, and if you worry that it's not correct, there's a simple gauge. If it leads to something good, if it inspires you to have more Yira Shemayim, then it's okay. So I'm hoping it's inspiring me this for it, so maybe it can inspire other people, and then it's okay to say it, even if it's not exactly what the Kli Yoker meant, and even if it's a bit of a chidush. Okay. But let me first share with you what the Kli Yoker says. Of course, the Kli Yoker is on Parshas Va'era, and he talks about the Arba Koisis. We actually talks about, you know, one of the reasons that we have Arba Koisis, the four cups of wine, is because it corresponds to the four Lashoinos of Geula, the four expressions of Geula, which is in Parshas Va'era. Let's have a look at the four expressions. It's the last part of this. I'm just bringing it up here. Last part of the handout. It says like this. Hashem said, tell Moshe, I'm going to tell the Yid, I'm going to take them out. V'hoitseisi eschem. I'm going to take them out from the suffering. That's number one over here. V'hoitseisi. Then v'hitzalti, I'm going to save them from their slavery, from their bondage. And then he says, v'hitzalti, I'm going to save you sorry, Vega'alti, I'm going to redeem you from Mitzrayim. And then the fourth one is, then after what's going to happen, Hashem, V'lokachti estamil, I'm going to take you as a nation. So therefore, because of these four expressions, the Gemara says, corresponding to these four expressions, we have the four cups of wine to experience these four expressions. Says the Kiyoka, what's the pshat in these four expressions? In other words, what do they mean? Why four expressions? Why all these expressions? He says the following. He says, first of all, we have to separate the first three expressions from the last one. First three expressions are Hashem redeeming us, taking us out of something negative. And then the fourth one is, he took us out, but then the fourth one is, what are we going to become? And what are we going into? We're going into becoming Hashem's nation. And that's the last one. V'lokachti eschem li la'om. Okay. So he says, talking about the first three, he says there was three levels of golus. Three levels that all happened to the Yidden when they were in Mitzrayim. First thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, your children will be in a foreign land. Be'eretz lo Elohim. The first level of golus and the first level of distance from Hashem is to be out of Eretz Yisrael. Originally they were in Eretz Yisrael, the obvious lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were promised the land of Eretz Yisrael. Mitzrayim was, they were out of Eretz Yisrael in golus. The first level, the first layer of golus being disconnected from Hashem is being in a foreign land. It's being a foreign land. What's worse than that? Worse than that is when you're in the foreign land, you become slaves in that land, which happened to the Yidden after they first were in a foreign land. And then eventually, Pari made them slaves, yet they have to work. Okay? So you can be slaves. That's a second layer. That's a worse layer. But still, you can be slaves and you're treated reasonably. Maybe not great, but reasonably. But then there's the worst part of Golus, and that is, it says, V'avodum v'inu oisam. Not only did they make them slaves, but they afflicted them. They caused them pain, they caused them suffering, they caused them oppression. So again, number one, the Yidden were in a foreign land. Number two, they were in bondage, they were in slavery. And then they were in suffering, they were afflicted, right? And Hashem took them out of all those things. And he says, the way the psukim work is they work backwards. Hashem took us out first from the worst one, the worst layer, then from the second, and then from the first. So Hashem begins, first of all, v'hitzesi, I'm going to take you out of mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim, from the suffering of Egypt. I'm going to take you out from the affliction, from the inui. Not only that, v'hitzalti eschem avedos, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to save you from the bondage, meaning I will take you out of being slaves. But not only that, I'm not going to take you out of being slaves and leave you in a foreign land, but v'ga'alti, I'm going to redeem you from the foreign land, that you won't anymore be in the foreign land. And what is all that going to lead to? V'lokachti eschem li la'om, the fourth expression, I'm going to take you as a nation. That's what the Kli Yakar says. So really, first three expressions of Geula is coming out of the three layers of Golus: suffering, slavery, and being in a foreign land. So I was thinking about this, and I'll just share with you, I'll finish with this. What does it mean in terms of our own spiritual seder? We know that b'chol dor v'dor chayv odom liros es asmoi kilu hu yotzim Mitzrayim. Every generation, a person has to see himself as if he's going out of Mitzrayim. We all have our own personal Mitzrayim. It's those things that hold us back from growing, from going, pushing our comfort zone, from growing each year more and more to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking the next step in learning Torah, taking the next step in doing mitzvahs, taking the next step in chesed to others. That's going out of Mitzrayim. And every Pesach, we're reminded of this, and every Pesach, we have to reflect of how can we go out of our own Mitzrayim. The word Mitzrayim means prison, narrowness, limitation. And we are stuck in our own Mitzrayim, and how do we have to go out of our Mitzrayim? So what is our Mitzrayim? So I think we can talk about our own Mitzrayim, what holds us back in terms of progressing in our Avodas Hashem and going out of our own personal Mitzrayim and experiencing personal chayrus, personal freedom, by going a little bit beyond our comfort zone to grow and more and to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to understand, what is it within us that's our Mitzrayim? What's holding us back? And I think there's three layers, same three layers. each one worse than the other. The first layer is the layer of indifference. What I mean by that is, we have a person that's Torah mitzvahs, puts on tefillin every day, like Shabbos candle, keeps Shabbos kashrus. It does all the things, but it's like being in a foreign land. It doesn't connect to it. It's not him. You do something, but that's not you. You can learn Torah, but your head is somewhere else. You can do mitzvahs, but really, you identify, you define yourselves by your business, not by the mitzvahs that you do. A yid is not just, we don't just do mitzvahs that Hashem told us to do. We become the mitzvahs, we become the Torah. That's our mahus, that's our essence, that's who we are. And the first layer of being in Mitzrayim is, everything's fine, but we're doing mitzvahs and we're learning Torah and we're serving Hashem, but we're not growing. Why are we not growing? Because we're like in a foreign land. Like the Torah and us are not one. We're doing something, but we aren't that something. We don't become that something. We're not passionate about that something. We're not excited about that something, because it's not us. It's just something like being in a foreign land. First layer of our own personal golus and personal Mitzrayim. The second is that we're slaves. Sometimes it's not just that we're indifferent, but we become slaves to Yetzer Hara. Every person has their indulgences. One person is a slave to his taivus, temptations, overindulgence, materialism, hedonism, creating an image so other people can think we're special. Some people are a slave to their anger, to jealousy, to hatred. They're addicted to these things almost. They become slaves. We become slaves to the taivus and to the ritzoinus and to the wills and the desires of the Yetzer Hara. These things are a problem, because when we understand that we're being run by we're driven by these taivus and by these temptations and things which are not spiritual and not godly, obviously it's going to hold us back even more from growing more in Avodas Hashem by going out of our own Mitzrayim, because we're becoming slaves to our own weaknesses, our own taivus, our own Yetzer Hara. And then there's something even worse than that, and that's when we're afflicted. What's an afflicted person? An afflicted person means not that he's slaves and he's indulging when he shouldn't indulge, or he's looking at things he shouldn't look at and all that kind of stuff, or just following pursuit of pleasure or materialism. But it's more than that. When he does it, he becomes despondent, a yush, beats himself up, and he decides, you know what, I'm just a terrible person. I feel guilt. I feel shame. And we know guilt and shame are not good ingredients for growth. It's almost like an escape. Oh, I'm just a terrible person. We've spoken about this many times. One of the tactics of the Yetzer Hara, you know, when I grew up, the Yiddish expression that the Chabad Rebbes used to use for the Yetzer Hara is, previous Rebbe used to call him der Kluginker, a smart one. The Yetzer Hara is very smart. What does he do to the person? It's hard to get the person to do a big aveira. You know, if the Yetzer Hara came to you and said you should go outside and kill someone, you'd never do that, chas v'sholom, right? Because you know it's a big aveira, so it is zara, chas v'sholom. So the Yetzer Hara comes and he tries to get the person to fail in something small, a klein aveira, small aveira. And then he does something even worse. Once he got the person to do the aveira, now it makes the person feel guilty and despair and give up hope. That's what the Yetzer Hara does. He inflicts the person. The person should be not just slaves to his temptations, but he should be a tormented person, always thinking less of himself, always being how terrible he is, always thinking that I can't grow. I'm just stuck in who I am. I'm a terrible person. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not for me, and so on and so forth. Those are the three layers of Golus. So what does Hashem do on the Seder night especially? He allows us to go out of that Mitzrayim. Again, going from the worst to the better. First of all, Hashem says to us, no, chas v'sholom, there's always hope. Hashem, first of all, when we drink the first cup of wine, we can think about this. Hashem takes us out of that level of golus. He takes us out of the torment of being tormented, of feeling guilty, of shame, that a person should never beat themselves up and think, I'm gone, I'm tomei. The Yidden were in the 49th level of tumah in Mitzrayim, and they still went out of Mitzrayim. Right? I heard a word from Rabbi Twersky once. He says, why do we have a vegetable for the karpas? He says, because you know what? It's to show us the power of the Seder. The power of the Seder is that you have a vegetable. What's a vegetable? A vegetable grows on the ground. The ground is like dindred, you know, it's like it's earthiness. It's like it's the lowest of the low. On Pesach night, even a tzibale or a vegetable that grows in the ground, that is tiffin the gindred, like we say, right? Suddenly becomes a big yichus person at the Seder. He's now on the Seder table. So to us also, we come to Pesach, we have to realize, even if we think we've done something wrong, or even if we think we failed, even if we feel guilty, even if we feel like we're despondent or giving up, the first step is to get out of that golus. To know there's always hope. Hashem always accepts us back. Hashem, especially Pesach, gives us the Kedusha, even the Kaddish, even before the Rachas, like we said before. He helps us give half Kedusha, even before we can get rid of the bad things. We just have to look forward. We have to look with hope. We have to take the next step. Doesn't matter how many times we failed. Doesn't matter how many times we've done something wrong. Pesach means we can always go out of our Mitzrayim, and that's the first layer, the worst layer. It's the worst thing to be, a person of no hope. When a person has yush, that's it, it's finished. There's no, he can't grow then. It doesn't matter what he's done or what he hasn't done. When a person is yush, it's terrible. The first layer of golus and the worst layer of golus, the worst layer of our own Mitzrayim to get out of, is to get out of that yush. Then we're going to go out of the second layer. And Hashem helps us. The second layer is the layer of slavery. We've got to understand the power of the person to have self-control. We have to understand that there's part of us that is always pure. There's an neshama that is always okay, and we have the koyach not to be slaves to our own temptation. The power of bechira, the power of choice, the power to make decisions, the power to choose right over wrong, the power to train ourselves to be more self-disciplined and have more self-control, not to be controlled by our temptations, but rather for us to control it rather than it controlling us. It's hard work to be a little bit less angry, to be a little bit less indulgent, a little bit less jealous, a little bit less hateful. We can learn about it. We can really try and reflect on it, and we can really go out of that goal of being slaves to impressing other people, slaves to social pressure, all the slavery formats that we can have. We need to go out of that and start understanding and exercising the real power of the human being, which is the power of Kabbalah's oil, the power of self-control. And then Hashem says, there's another golus you have to go out of, and that is the golus of indifference. We have to work on and make hachlotas, make resolutions to approach Yiddishkeit and to understand that Yiddishkeit is not something that we do, but it's foreign to us. We have to go out of the foreign land. But Yiddishkeit is something that we are, something that we're excited about, something that we are passionate about. It's our identity. We are not people, human beings that do mitzvahs. We are the mitzvahs. We are Hashem's people. We are people who do mitzvahs. That's our identity. We're not a person who does other things, business and eating and sleeping, and we happen also to do mitzvahs. No. Yiddishkeit is who we are. That's our very essence. And that's going out of the third golus. And of course, all of that is one purpose for the fourth expression, the lokachti eschem li la'om, that when we're ready to make it our identity, when we're ready not to be slaves to our own indulgences, when we're ready to not lose hope and not be tormented by guilt and shame, not be afflicted by those terrible thoughts and those yetzaharas of giving up hope, then we can come HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation, that we drink the fourth cup of wine, and that's the cup of Hallel, where we praise Hashem for choosing us and for taking us as His nation and for giving us the opportunity to serve Him, and each year to drink matzah and wine and fulfill the mitzvahs of the Seder, and to go out of our own personal Mitzrayim and become closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Torah and His mitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should be able to sit down to the Seder, not just go through the motions, but actually connect to the Seder and find meaning in the Seder and apply it and experience it, to be able to go a little bit out of our own Mitzrayim, even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should be able to have the real Geulas Mitzrayim, which is the Geulah of Mashiach. We'll have the Korban Pesach and eat Matzah and Mora and the Korban Pesach and the Korban Abba Koisus all together in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, B'mheira B'yameinu. And I want to wish everyone, of course, a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be available online or on podcasts, if you want to listen to it again. All the best.